Good morning. Thank you, Ellen. It's great seeing you. My name is Cecilia. I'm a compulsive overeater. And wow, what a great day, a holiday celebration. Margaret Ann, your talk was great. The first thing I heard you say was, abstinence is the most important thing in my life without exception. And I don't hear that as much as I used to, but it is absolutely true because without abstinence, I have no joy. It becomes all about the food and everything else melts away. I've been in recovery. It'll be 32 years in January, and I've been abstinent since then, imperfectly. I remember reading the promises when I came in, and I thought, wow, really? I want that. I also read the 12 steps, and it seemed pretty daunting, except I didn't know what the hell they were, but I figured, hey, I was dying, so maybe this might be a good plan B. I love that they said that we don't come to OA at the end of a winning streak. I certainly did not. It was the last house on the block, and I was dying, and I knew it. I was 27 years old. My kids were 4 and 8. They grew up here. My first sponsor raised my kids until they were 14 and 11, and my second sponsor has now raised them into adulthood and my grandchildren. And I say that because I don't raise my kids alone. God, I would have made it just, I was already screwing up. I can't even imagine where they would be right now without OA. But when I read the promises, and I'm kind of going to go through that a little bit, it said, I will learn the word serenity, I will know peace. And I wanted that because I had none. All I did was think about food, not eating it, how much, when. I remember sitting at a meeting. And I was sitting in a meeting listening. This was probably in the first couple of years. And all of a sudden, my heart was gripped with terror. What am I going to do for Halloween? And my higher power said, Cecilia, it's May. Let's just do May, shall we? We'll get to October when we get there. So I will know the word serenity and I will know peace, but it didn't say anything about joy. It didn't say anything about the fact that this afternoon we're building gingerbread houses. My house is going to be entirely covered in sugar and I get to watch them play and I get to watch them build and I don't want it. And the miracle really is not that I don't want it as much as I don't feel deprived. I could never stop eating because I could not be deprived. But when I come to recovery, my higher power removes the desire to eat compulsively. And that is a miracle. It says, we will see how our experience can benefit others. But it doesn't say that it's not limited to just what we get here, right? Now that I've been here for a while, my old sponsor used to say that compulsive eating takes away the ability to play, love, and work. And when I came in, I couldn't do any of those things. Today, I can do all of them. So I can share my experience in loving, that love is enough, that there's enough love, that there's enough time, that there's enough resources. I didn't know that. I can share my experience in learning how to be financially responsible and learning that the seventh step tells me I have to carry my own weight. And today, of all things, I'm a financial planner. I would have never, ever imagined myself doing that. I didn't pay my bills until they were late. And it wasn't because I didn't have the money. It's because I didn't have the discipline. I just couldn't do it. I needed the chaos in my life. That feeling of looseness and self-pity, there was never a lot of self-pitying. That isn't my favorite character defect. Self-righteous anger, yes, sign me up. I get to be angry and right. But pity, I don't have a lot of time for that. So that wasn't too hard to get rid of. I will gain interest in my fellows. Your life is ever so much more interesting than mine. And no, today I don't have to gossip to feel intimate. I don't have to tear someone down with you to feel a connection. And I learned that here, you know, that when I finally realized that gossip was a false sense of intimacy, that was really powerful. I didn't need to do that anymore. Fear of people and of economic insecurity. I wasn't afraid of people in the traditional way, but I really felt that if you were going to spend time with me, I should have to pay for it. And so I've always had the ability to make money. I don't understand why it just happens. But if we went out, I had to pay. And I had to buy gifts and I had to do that. And it's because I didn't think that I was worth the time. And I don't do that anymore. I'm still generous just because I like to be, but I don't do it because I think I owe you something for being there with me. And that was a huge thing. I will intuitively know how to handle situations which used to baffle us. Wow. All right. So the first thing was the food, right? How do you go to a holiday and not eat compulsively? How do you go to a buffet and not eat compulsively? And you just do. I don't know. It's a miracle. But what about the rest of the stuff? Like, how do you handle your daughter's 15-year addiction? How do you handle knowing that you get a call that she could be dead any minute? How do you handle the call that, you know, hey, now you're raising a 2-year-old? Or today, my latest was, oh, look, we have a 70-pound chocolate lab that now you get to raise. I call him the Velociraptor. Yes, he's huge. But you know what? Because of my higher power, this situation isn't baffling me. I have resources. I can call people. And we're going to get him into training. Anyway, when I first put the picture up, you can see the cross behind me. I'm not a particularly religious person. I think that there are many paths to God, and who am I to say which one's the right one? But when my daughter was in her addiction, she would gift me things. It was really weird. She'd come over, she'd be incoherent most of the time, and she would bring me gifts. And it was like God was sending me a message. It's going to be okay. Now, that didn't really necessarily mean that she was going to be alive, but it did mean that it was going to be okay. And one of the things she brought me was this cross behind me, and I kept them. The other thing she brought me was a glittery sign that said hope that I put by my window, my bedroom window. And every time I would look at them, I would know that my higher power has me and my higher power has her. And one of the most powerful things I ever heard was, I can go over because God is the biggest nag of all. Because God knows he nags me all day long. That and my loving sponsor. How am I doing for time? Oh, thank you. 2 minutes? All right. 5 minutes. Okay, got it. Anyway, so when I looked at the promises, I didn't know that I was going to have joy in my life. I didn't know that I was going to be able to play and love. And my daughter said to me the other day, she said, Mom, she's been clean for a while. Life is good. She said, Mom, I'm having a birthday party. We're having a birthday dinner and we're going to go to this restaurant and everybody's going to pay their way. And I went, oh my God, what a miracle. This child has learned to celebrate her life. Because I didn't wait around for birthday parties. I didn't wait around to celebrate my life. When I graduated from college, I took myself in my cap and gown and got professional pictures done. I went and walked on my graduation day because every day that I do something that isn't killing me is a day to celebrate. We're headed into the biggest, baddest food time, but we're also headed in the biggest, baddest love time, a time to celebrate family and friends and all the love that is here. And I can love myself with food, but it doesn't have to be food that destroys me. My higher power doesn't want me to eat garbage either. That's all I got.